This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right, well, welcome to the Pioneering Performance Stage here at the Shell and Pennzoil booth at SEMA 2018. I'm Alan Taylor. I got a special guest for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Very special guest, the birthday boy himself, Woo! Mr. John Hennessy.
Come on.
Hey, brother.
Thank you,
Happy
Alan.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, brother.
I love you, man.
Take all that love.
I love you.
All right, sitting down here on the comfy couch.
The man that makes
fast
cars go faster. I know.
I like it.
That's what it's all about, really, is being
able to see
it.
Where's the margarita machine? That's what I want to know.
You know what? I have notes, but I don't really need any of them.
I think we've go far enough back.
I know. Where is Hope, first of all? Where's your wife?
Well, unfortunately, one of our dogs passed away.
Oh, you know what?
And
in a little bit,
she decided to stay home because of that.
You know, that actually Nissan is doing something with animal rescue thing for disasters.
That's cool.
And so, you know, when disasters happen, there's not always, you know, the rescue for the animals. So Nissan and a buddy of mine, Nick Miles, got together and they've created an animal rescue vehicle.
That's awesome.
For when disaster strikes or hurricanes. And you dealt with it,
idea.
Brother. Your house was
our house
underwater.
Got destroyed, Hurricane Harvey.
Wow.
So yeah, I remember seeing on the news a lot of pets and animals that were displaced and people are trying to get out of town and save their families, and the pets didn't always make it into the vehicle. We had four dogs and we got them in our vehicle and got out. But that's neat. Nissan,
yep.
Props to them for doing that.
Exactly.
Very thoughtful.
Exactly. And they're also working with the Red Cross. You know what? And that's what's so cool about this industry.
Yeah.
They say, where is there a need? Let's fill a need.
There's a lot of creativity.
Shine
and, man,
it's
really
light.
Feels really good when you can do something that, like, really does something impactful. Yeah. I mean, we're here for SEMA. It's for fun. It's entertainment. It's speed. It's performance. But, you know, to some degree, speaking from my own experience, a little bit selfish, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably worse things I could be doing with my time and money than fast
Absolutely.
Cars, right?
There is a lot of worse things.
But when you can take your fast car or your passion for automotive and actually do something that helps somebody else or helps their pet, that's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing. This man here is about, in 2019, to break the 300-mile-an-hour mark in a production car that you can buy and run on regular Shell. Not regular, but super.
Yeah.
Shell V-Power gasoline.
Absolutely.
1,600-plus horsepower.
Yes.
And all I can say is, man, I am going to be watching. I may even come down there. When is it? Tell us about it.
The F5, we unveiled it a year ago here at SEMA.
Right.
Really special time, something we've been working on for a number of years. And from that point up till now, we're probably 80% done with the engineering work. So we're going to start putting together the car right after the first year. Hope to have a running, driving test mule by midsummer. And we'll be here with the production representative of F5 next year and hopefully some sort of a speed number to go with it. I don't want to, you know, say we're going to run 300 by next year, but, you know, somebody asked me earlier, you're going to run 300? I'm like, yeah, we're going to run 300.
You'll
if I don't run
there.
300, it won't be because we weren't trying hard enough.
Yeah.
And one of my guys that's here at the show, he's been running Texas Mile with a guy that we worked on a Ford GT a while ago. He goes 293 in a mile, and he's one of our senior calibrators. So,
wow.
Patrick, if you're out there, thank you.
293
in a mile.
Insane,
so anyway,
right?
I'm not trying to swing from his you-know-what. I mean, they have their own accolades. But I'm just saying that's kind of the culture within our group of people.
Right.
That's what we build. That's what we do. That's what our customers want. That's what our customers expect. And we're just super honored and excited to be working with Shell and Pennzoil and the tremendous resources that their engineering group have offered to us. So it takes a village. It takes a team. And we have some amazing talents. And, we kind of feel like 300-mile-an-hour road car is kind of like it's kind of like the Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to go 400 miles on a road car unless Elon Musk decides that he wants to do it. You know? And it'll be underground, you know. It'll be underground and you'll have to be like asleep or something and, you know, smoke a joint with Joe Rogan or something like
that.
I don't know. Anyway, I digress.
I digress. So, but you know what? You talked about the relationship with Shell and Pennzoil. My God, what a difference that's made to your life and to your capabilities.
Well,
You know, I mean, you got one of the biggest companies in the world behind you
well,
now.
Well, let me just say something special about my Shell Pinzel family. So, again, a little over a year ago, we get flooded out, and we're living in a hotel, and there's 7 feet of water in our street, and there's water in our house for like a week. We had to take a boat to our house. And, like, so this 1 or 2 weeks right after the flood happened, I'm getting text messages, I'm getting phone calls from more than a dozen Shell Pinzel staff members that are here at the show right now, some that are just a few feet away.
One standing right there.
That's right. And she's trying to find me a boat to get to my house. So our relationship goes beyond a sponsorship. It's really never been a sponsorship. It's always been a partnership, but really, and it was this way even before the flood, but they're really family to me, to my family, and to our business. And so it feels really good to be able to come here, you know, with our unveil our Velociraptor V8, the world's first and only V8 powered Gen 2 Raptor, 1200 horsepower Demon. I go on and on, but I was a Shell Pinzel fan before we started working together. But
as was I.
With the stuff that we've done together and the stuff that we're going to do together, what a better way to do it than to do it with your family?
Yeah.
The most significant things that we enjoy in life. You know, at some
and
point,
here you sit on your birthday saying this.
It's awesome.
That what, like, right? I mean, look.
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
happy
if
birthday.
I couldn't be home with my wife and the dogs kids, I'm here with my
other family,
extended family.
Yeah, right.
I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet, the new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome to the Pioneering Performance Stage here at the Shell and Pinzoil booth at SEMA 2018. I'm Alan Taylor. This man here is John Hennessy. I love what you do, and I want to support you in what you do. But I love the passion that you have. I love the father that you are of your kids. I watch the husband you are, the friend that you are. It's like that is what I want to show the world, that our hobby has these kind of people in it. You're one of them, but there's a lot of them in this family that the Shell people put together.
The cool thing is, like, for what, you know, where we're at with our love and passion for automotive.
You're in my love for each other?
No, absolutely. Oh. But the thing is, it's like at some point, somebody shared something with us. I love the story about Jay Leno. He'll talk about what got him into cars. He was 10 or 12 years old, and he was somewhere, and a guy had this old, 1954 Jag or something like that. And he let him sit in it. So, like, whenever you see Jay at Supercar Sunday or a car event, if a kid under the age of probably 12, 13 wants to sit in the car, he'll let him sit in the car. And so we try to do the same thing with our cars. But my point is, you know, a lot of times it's a dad, an uncle, a relative, a neighbor, or if it's just a total stranger at the car show, that pays the hobby forward. And so a lot of the folks that run around here, I guarantee you, people walking by right now, at some point, they have a memory, an experience with their dad, a friend, a loved one, maybe somebody that's not with them anymore. And I think, really, that's the cool thing about automotive and the thing, the passion behind it is really, if you really dig deep, it's really almost about a relationship and a memory with somebody that was special, is special to you. Or maybe like, hey, with this car, I'm going to get this hot chick and she's going to become my wife or whatever. So maybe it's for some family situation that is in the future.
Yeah.
You know,
you never know. I took my wife for a ride in my Corvette, 1984 Corvette, you know, and it was like,
did you have gold chains?
It was in 84.
Yeah.
And it was the hottest thing in the world, right?
Did you have a mullet sporting or?
No, I was like, look, just black
I've
hair.
I've seen pictures of you on Facebook, man. You had the, flow. You had the flow.
I said, what do you think of my car? She goes, oh. What is it? Like, it might as well have been a Corvair, not a Corvette.
Well, at least she interested in you, not your car.
That's what it was.
Come on.
I went, that's the girl I got to marry
there
right there.
There you go.
You know? So let me ask you now, this next year challenge for you with the Venom F5 to break this, is it like a daily thing you're working on, this 300-mile
thing?
It is.
It's daily.
Yeah.
And if
and
I'm
the Shell
really
people
being
are working
honest,
with you.
You know, on one hand, you know, we would like to get on Instagram and say that everything's perfect and wonderful, but the reality is, it's a big ass project.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work.
Well, did you see those two fighter jets go by a second ago?
I heard them.
I thought maybe John Hennessy was running.
It didn't sound like Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to Nellis.
I thought maybe you guys were doing a test out there.
Yeah, a little William Tell
action. Where are you going to do the test?
I'd love to do it in Texas. I'd love to do it on a Texas highway. But, you know, the Koenigsegg guys that have the current record, they ran 278 two ways. They did it on the road that goes to Pahrump, not far from here.
Really?
That's an option for us.
Yeah.
You know, if we go out there and bang a number and roll in the scene with a big number next year, great. That's what we're going to try to do.
Yeah.
If we can.
Okay.
You know?
So this time next year, you should have some kind of
record.
Well,
we'll see. We're going to try to do it. That's the goal.
Fingers. All right.
But, you know, what could possibly go wrong, as the Top Gear guys say?
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong, you know?
So you talked about the Velociraptor. Where, when, how do we get one?
Is it, oh, my gosh.
You could buy
one now?
We've
been, like, inundated. I mean, we knew that there was a lot of demand. A lot of customers have called us since the new Raptor came out back in 17. Oh, man, I wish they had a V8. I don't like the V6. Anyway, we announced it a few days ago, unveiled it here, and, gosh, I think we've got, I don't know, I think we had three orders today.
Wow.
Maybe four. So we may have...
It's for sale. It's up for sale.
And that one's for sale. Okay. And, look, it's not cheap. It's $147,000, including the new Raptor truck.
Well, I see
but
the
man.
Guys that own Private Motorsports right over there.
Yeah.
And I know one of them owns a Raptor that's for sale. Did you sell it yet? Okay, no. All right, well, you know, maybe they take trade-ins on
man,
the Hennessy.
Man, I thought you were going to go to, like, an auctioneer.
Anyway.
All right.
John Hennessy, happy birthday to you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
And thank you for coming over
all
and visiting
right, thanks
us.
For
thank
having
you.
Me.
John Hennessy, everybody. We'll take a little break and come back with more here on the Pioneering Performance Stage. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back in just a minute.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
All right, well, welcome to the Pioneering Performance Stage here at the Shell and Pennzoil booth at SEMA 2018. I'm Alan Taylor. I think my buddy Dan Sandberg is up from Brembo Brakes, the president and CEO. And you know what? Can we bring Nick Miles with him? Because Nick is also a fellow journalist. And how you doing? Dan Sandberg, everybody. President and CEO of Brembo Brakes, world's best brake company.
How are
Nick
you?
Miles, our auto expert.
I forget how cute you are until I get close.
Oh,
do people lie down on this
oh,
couch?
Oh, jeez.
Do they lie down on this couch? And you?
Yeah, this is my couch where you need to have a little bit of therapy.
Can I relax?
You can relax. That's what it's all about. So, you know, I'm so proud of you, Dan. I got to tell you that.
Well, thanks, Dad.
When I met Dan, he was, it's been about, I don't know, a decade ago or so. Has it been about 10 years?
It's been over 10 years.
10, 12 years, whatever it has been. He was working at this little company called Brembo. It is now a big company called Brembo. And when I walked by at the dinner the other night, it said, what did it say there? World leading brake company or something? Did you notice that big sign at the bottom of the stairway? You guys are like world class.
Well, we have to thank all these guys out here.
Right?
These are the guys who put it on all these cars. I mean, it's amazing. Just amazing what
we
see.
My friends at the Motor Trend Group now, longtime friends, walking by waving. But, Dan, what has happened with the performance car world? I'm just thinking, since you've been at the helm, has been, you know, cars like the Dodge Demon, the Dodge Hellcat, the Mustang Bullet, the Mustang GT, the Mustang GTR, the Camaro, the Camaro's the L1, they all have Brembo brakes. They all have Brembo brakes.
I think part of business at the end of the day, everybody will always tell you, you can be great managers, you can be brilliant You can come up with great products, but you got to have some luck, right? And I think Brembo has great products, but you look at the last decade and a half, what is it with horsepower? You tell me. I mean, all of a sudden, performance in the last decade...
It's gone through the roof.
Just totally through the roof. And to be honest with you, you put that much power in a car, you better be able to stop it, right? And
I will be the first to tell you, thank God for Brembo brakes.
And wheels.
What do you mean?
I thank wheels, because wheels used to have hubcaps and all that other paraphernalia.
Oh, right.
You
had
beautiful cars,
right?
Big windows in the wheels.
And yeah, you couldn't see them, and you couldn't fit as much in there either.
That's right. And then you have cafe, which is, you know, where you get your coffee every day. It's also it's also what's making us make these cars that can go miles and miles and miles and miles.
Right.
And what do you want? You want lightweight. And Brembo, again, leader in lightweight brake systems. So, you know, they're the only aluminum brakes that you have. Takes a ton of weight out of the car. And now you have electrification, which is all you hear about these days. And again, another opportunity to push, you know, push lightweight products into the car.
Well, you guys also have a robust aftermarket for, and are you making the announcement or have you made it?
I don't know which one you want me to make.
Well, I mean, it seems like your aftermarket distribution and everything has grown tremendously, and I don't want to give it away in case it's not time yet.
It's not time yet.
So there's
but
just big
will,
things coming.
I will
coming.
Tell you, it will be a lot easier to get Brembo brakes in the very, very near future.
So there you go. I'm trying not to scoop a scoop, you know?
There's no competition, though, is there? You don't really have any competition.
Everyone has competition, but not
I mean,
really.
I think everybody has competition, but I think, you know, if you keep coming up with new products, good quality products, great looking products, you know, have you seen our new BM6 caliper?
I haven't been hardly in the building except to go straight over to the other places I have to go.
Imagine taking, you know, a typical caliper that you see in a car. I mean, all these builders know what they look like, but you give it to a computer and you run it through what we call 4D analysis, and you say, computer, what can I do with this caliper to make it the lightest but the stiffest possible caliper? And you just turn that computer on and let it do its artificial intelligence.
So I have carbon
thing.
Ceramic. Is it not carbon ceramic?
No. You're looking at the actual caliper itself.
Okay.
You know how they look kind of, you have these very clean lines and everything else. Well, what if you just let the computer draw it itself?
Come on.
Honest to God.
This using is artificial intelligence.
Using artificial intelligence and algorithms that we do on our own. You get this thing, it looks like a marshmallow bent out of shape, and it's a caliper.
Right.
But it is stiffer than everything we ever made, and it performs better than anything
because
we've ever
had. Because the computer can take all the analytics and apply those to design. That's wild.
And again, we think, you know, humans and even artists think straight lines.
Yeah.
So you take a little out here, you want to take a little out here. A computer doesn't do that. It says, you know what? We only need aluminum here and just this amount. Over here, this amount. And it's almost like you molded it with putty.
So the caliper is the same on a carbon ceramic rotor as it is on a steel rotor?
Oh, it can be, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Because I didn't know if they're a match set.
Yeah, but this BM6, you look at it, you've never seen anything like it. It'll change the vision of what people look at. I mean, it goes in the car, it looks like almost you have a Gumby wrapped around your rotor.
A gummy bear.
Yeah,
you should make one that looks like a gummy bear.
Well, you know Troy Lee, right?
Yeah,
We've talked to him before. He loved the design so much that he took the 2011 livery from a Porsche, all right, that was down...
Say it right, Porsche.
Porsche.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Alana. Anyway,
he's laughing over there.
But he took that design.
That's the guy from Fox News, by the way. Yeah, he's laughing. Anyway, thank you for laughing. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right.
He's also my friend. Sorry, but go ahead.
But he took this design, and he actually did a design with this caliper. It's beautiful.
All right, I'm going to take just a moment's break and be back with another great guest. This is the Pioneering Performance Stage at SEMA. Be right back.
Hurry into the Dodge Big Finish event. That's the new holiday greeting in Santa's workshop, and now he's even upgrading his ride. Like Charger, America's only four-door muscle car. Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Durango, the most technologically advanced, fuel-efficient, and powerful V8 in its class. Santa wants his sleigh to really fly.
Ho, ho, go!
Hurry in for great deals at the Dodge Big Finish event. Based on 2019 Ward's Midsize Sport Utility Vehicle segment, available V8 based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Live talk today here on the Shell Pioneering Performance Stage. I'm Alan Taylor, and we're going to have some great guests for you. Dan Sandberg, everybody, president and CEO of Brembo Brakes, world's best brake company.
How are you?
Nick Miles, our auto expert. And here's the deal. He is the lifestyles of the rich and famous guy, that guy that died. He's our version of that for cars.
Really?
Nick Miles. Yeah. He's on like a million. What is it? You have a million audience a day now?
A million people a day.
A million people a day because he's on like tons of television radio stations. And he sounds like, you know, lifestyles of rich and famous. And he does sound smart.
Robin Leach.
Robin Leach.
Sweeping staircase comes down the house.
And but it's beautiful.
Nick used to be a paramedic. He's a true blood car guy like we are. And he loves dogs. And he's done something with Nissan, which will change subjects for a moment. He's going to show you his dog because he'll enjoy, right on the cover, not his lady,
he's gonna make me
his
cry.
Dog. He's gonna, what's the dog's name again?
Reese. Come on, you
Reese.
Know Reese.
Yeah. And I always have to hear about Reese every time I call. Hold on, let me get Reese to be quiet. We're doing a radio interview. But tell us what you're doing with Nissan and this Pause One.
Yeah, so it's kind of a weird thing that happened. I sat with the vice president, Michael Bunce, of Nissan at another event right here in Vegas, CES, last year. And I'm sitting next to him having dinner, and the hurricane season was just sort of coming to an end. And I said, do you get a lot of calls? People want to borrow your trucks during hurricanes, go rescue their neighbors or whatever. And he goes, oh, you wouldn't believe how many people call me in hurricane season to go borrow Nissan trucks to go save some money. I said, you ever thought about building one specially to go rescue people or pets after hurricanes or whatever? And he goes, no, do you want to do one? I said, well, I could do one. He goes, I'll send you a truck. Do it for SEMA 2018. I went, oh, wait a second. What did I just do?
But you know what? I saw it.
Now I've got to do it.
Beautiful. And
it's here in the Nissan booth. We built a truck. We nicknamed
Where is that?
It's in the Nissan booth right over by the performance tents on the other end of South Hall.
All right.
And he said, go build me a rescue rig that could go into hurricane areas with infrared cameras and go find those horses, the cattle, the pets, the dogs, the cats.
Great idea.
Suck them out. So we built it. The vehicle is in a concept form right now. 6.5-inch lift on a Titan, Nissan Titan. The guys at Hard Notch Customs in Vancouver built this incredible rack system, 16,000-pound winches in the front, dog kennels with a bed slider in the back. And when we finish here at the show, the guys over at Linex are going to go Linex the whole thing so you could hit it with a baseball bat and not damage this vehicle. It has lights. It'll have sirens. It'll have PAs.
But better, it's also got a Zodiac. Is it a Zodiac? Or is it?
It's a C3 boat. It's a,
same think, as like the,
yeah,
the Navy
like
SEALs.
Yeah, it looks like the Navy SEALs use on the roof.
So in case the water gets a little too deep, we're still going in.
And everybody's like saying, well, what can we do to help? I said, you know what? If a 50-year-old rescue lady needs to get that boat off the roof, can we deploy it some way? And the guys, Kenny from 060 Design said, I'll put a rack system on the top so we can deploy it into the water and a winch to pull it back. We're actually going to use this. We're waiting for a... The sad thing is we're waiting for a hurricane.
Don't wait. Yeah. You know what? Never finish it if that's the case, right? The day it's done, something's going to happen.
Right. Well,
golly.
You know, if this is the idea. It makes me sad to tell you this, but the truth is 600,000 animals got either displaced or died during Katrina.
Wow.
And that was a message that they were sent. So we're like, it's not going to happen again. We're going to take it out there. When those hurricanes happen, we're going to deploy this thing. And we're going to bring some of these, some animals like your dog home who get displaced after these hurricanes. And Alan, your son told me that you have extra room at your farm, so we could have a few, vehicles, and we could have a few. How many pets can you look after, by the way?
Let me tell you, we have 10 chickens, okay? 10 chickens. Can you get 10 chickens?
So definitely don't get you a beagle so the chickens can survive.
We'll take a little break and come back with more here on the Pioneering Performance Stage, presented by Shell and Pennzoil. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back in just a minute.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right, well, welcome to the Pioneering Performance Stage here at the Shell and Pennzoil booth at SEMA 2018. I'm Alan Taylor. I think my buddy Dan Sandberg is up from Brembo Brakes, the president and CEO. And you know what? Can we bring Nick Miles with him? Because Nick is also a fellow journalist. So right. If you guys ever watch Fox and Friends in the morning, you probably see Mike Caudill there. He is the guy that stole my job from that place. So I just wanted to have him sit here. younger, that's it. And he stole my job. I'm joking.
Mike is the other half of our auto expert.
Mike is the other half of his auto expert. It's actually called Our Auto Expert. These guys work together. We're all like brothers. We love each other. We love cars. We love the hobby.
Alan's the oldest, by the way, guys.
I am. Actually, I think Dan's got me beat by like 3 months. But Mike, you know, Fox and Friends, you've been doing a great job. What did you just do the other day for the military?
Yeah, so really great opportunity. You know, we paired a couple different car companies together. We got Dodge together with a Challenger. We found 5 Purple Hearts. We're working with the Purple Heart Foundation. And we decided that we were going to create a program similar to Nick with his philanthropy. We've got one called American Muscle for American Heroes. So what we do is when these soldiers come back from overseas, sometimes they're put in a minivan. That's not a lot of fun in a minivan, right? So we wanted to bring Nexen Tire together. We brought some other, actually there's Brembo brakes on it. We have Brembo on it. It's a Challenger. And we want to be able to give a vehicle away a quarter to an American hero. So I was on last week in New York on Fox and Friends debuting a program, and December 22nd, I'll be back in the city where we're going to give a car away to a veteran. So if there are any veterans out here, any veterans, there we go. There's a veteran right there.
Thank you
for your service. If you have a Purple Heart, you want to go to nexentire.com, click on American Hero and sign up, see if you can have a chance to win. Your chances of winning that car are better than winning the Super Lotto. So let's start with that. But we're going to try and give away a car away a quarter. And we're looking for partners to build the program. And the next series will be whether it's Thin Blue Line with law enforcement or fire or even teachers. We're looking for American heroes that need a little support. So we want to raise awareness for that.
I have a little charity thing that I'm working on. It's called Alan Needs a Pizza. And I'm looking for donors. And pepperoni is my favorite anyway. And gluten-free.
Did you see the Toyota Tundra truck they have? It makes pizzas over there.
Does it where?
Yeah, the Toyota Tundra truck they have at the Toyota booth.
Are you serious?
It makes pizzas.
I love it.
With
well, you
Pizza
know what?
Hut.
I'm kind of ashamed of you.
Why?
Because I'm ashamed
of
you.
I'm on a diet and he knows it.
I know it. And now you're just relapsing right in front of us.
Gluten-free. I probably wouldn't eat it till my diet's over.
You know, whatever you're doing, your eyebrows look amazing.
Thank you. I can lift them over my glasses.
See how much weight he's lost, though?
Yeah, shut up.
The guy looks amazing. You should follow what his diet is.
Zip it, zippy long stocking.
He has lost, though, how much, 100?
120 pounds.
120 pounds. And I'm telling you what,
Alan, tell everybody the full true story. I used to be 6'8".
No, but you know, I think between the three of us, you know, with Fox and Friends and all the stuff that you do, Nick, with I don't know, you're on everything. How do I even describe what you do?
Fox Sports and most of the local Fox morning stations, yeah, right, and 720 radio stations.
Right? I mean, I think I'm on 100 radio stations. I think that we really reach a giant chunk of this industry. Oh, thank you. She's going to bring... I didn't really want him to talk that
I'm
much.
No longer alone.
Because he stole my job from Fox and Friends.
You notice he didn't want to hand me the microphone. He's like, wait, let's not give this guy a microphone. You know he's going to cannibalize the stage.
They want to try and shut me up. I know.
I'm going to stop talking.
But, you know, I wouldn't have had you. But, look, you guys love our industry the way that everyone that's been on this stage loves this industry. And it shows, by the way, you're passionate. And the passion that exudes from you when you're talking about cars... Because anybody can talk about cars, but nobody can, not just everybody can do it with passion.
Nobody can talk about cars and pizza like you, Alan.
No, I always put a pizza or some scatological humor in there. But I've been pretty good on stage here.
I think there's a really cool note in here, though. And I've known Alan for probably just under 20 years. And you do. You have maybe a few years on me. Maybe 5, 8, or
25.
No, 25
years on me.
Boy.
But growing up and loving cars and watching and following guys like C. Van Toon, Chubba Chetta, yeah, Alan Taylor as he was young coming up, you're following these guys, and to be able to sit on the stage and talk about the programs that we're working on and traveling the country talking about cars... It's all about what's under the hood. It's all about four wheels. It's about enjoying the experience and the lifestyle.
All right, here's what we're going to do in our last couple of minutes. We're going to talk about our cars, 1 minute each. We're just going to start with Nick Miles. Your car, what do you got?
It's my favorite car is my Mini Cooper Countryman, John Cooper Works.
Of course.
You know,
look at his shoulder.
You know why? I'll tell you why. I got some big, nasty muscle cars in the drive that make lots of noise. But if you live in a city, parking.
Right?
I love to go fast, but I love to make lots of smoke. I got nice big Suburbans and all those things. But parking, you can't meet a Mini. And go-kart type handling. And the other thing, too, is... Every time I drive with Alan in one of these little cars, he takes a picture and he puts it on social media and he goes, today is a good day to die.
No, that's what he did. All right, Dan Sandberg. Mr. Brembo Brakes.
Parking is a waste of time. So, I'm sorry. So, Porsche S Turbo.
What year?
Water cooled.
Brand new, 18?
Brand new.
God bless you. Brand new, 19 or 18?
Mine's a 19.
19. So you just got it.
Yeah.
You know, there's the need for speed. You know, it's just a fantastic car. It's to me, it's a modern piece of technology, and it's scary how you can put an amateur in that car and he can drive like a NASCAR driver in no time.
It's not that. He's not going to talk about the car he owns that I really hate.
No, absolutely not.
Talk about...
Who here has a Ford C-Max?
Are you serious?
Yes. I have a Ford C-Max.
Is that your commute car?
That is my commute car, but I will tell everyone out there that if you want to ask me what my car is, 1975 Ford Bronco called Eleanor's Big Brother, the original paint skews from the 69 Shelby Cobra GT500.
That's awesome.
Second iteration. It's over in the Nexen booth over there. Full off-road vehicle meant for rock crawling.
And what does Alan Taylor drive?
Everything.
Everything.
No.
Dodge Demon, baby.
Dodge Demon.
The Demon.
It's got Brembo brakes, got 840 horsepower, it's got bald back tires, and it is
what
the
serial
love of
number?
My
what car, number?
It's the only car in America that has scared Alan Taylor to almost have
Copo?
To put a towel down.
Dennis Pitzenbarger says Copo Camaro. My serial number is serial number 8. I got very lucky.
Yeah, but you know a guy.
I do know.
You need
the same guy.
Electric Copo.
Yeah. Yeah. You just made him Ralph. All right, guys. Thank you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Fox and Friends. Nick
Miles. You should go to animalrescuerigs.com.
Okay.
You can see the truck, and you can donate money so we can go save some animals.
There you have it. Nick Miles and ourautoexpert.com.
Same place you'll find Mike, by the
way.
You
guys are there.
But it's not as cool as Brembo.
And the president and CEO of Brembo Brakes, Dan Sandberg. Thank you, sir.
Brembo.com.
I'm Alan Taylor, 2018 SEMA Pioneering Performance Stage.
We'll be right back.
miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews, find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely. Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga.
I can't stop this feeling.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right, well, welcome to the Pioneering Performance Stage here at the Shell and Pennzoil booth at SEMA 2018. I'm Alan Taylor. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the folks from eBay Motors. Can I ask Jordan Hatinga to come up here? In 2010, I did a video with you guys, a video series, and we were the first video series on eBay Motors. And what happened was, in 2010, we did this video series. We raised some money for Patriot Outreach.
Love it.
Which was for soldiers and their families with PTSD. And so we customized with a bunch of people here at SEMA. We customized a Mustang. Ford donated the Mustang. Everybody threw an Edelbrock through and a supercharger. And
awesome.
The wheel company made custom wheels that had, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, you know, Marines. And it was like, this thing was so awesome. We got, I don't know, 600 horsepower out of it, which it wasn't about the horsepower. It was about the whole package. Rhino did our airbrush guy that was on the stage earlier, did a beautiful airbrush of a saluting with an American flag. It was amazing. Anyway, we did the auction.
You know, it's really indicative of a lot of what eBay is able to bring to the table that might be a little bit different.
Yeah.
We're really proud of eBay for charity.
Yeah.
And so as an example of that, something that we have that's ending just now is we've had some auctions through our great partnership with NASCAR. And so we've got some very unique experiences, some unique products, all going again through eBay for charity off to,
awesome.
To support NASCAR Foundation.
Well, at the end, we got $50,100, right? And you guys handed the check directly to the Colonel, Colonel Monaco, that runs eBay, or that runs, you go
no,
that,
I,
that
yeah,
runs
no.
Patriot Outreach.
Awesome.
And it, the guy that bought it, you're not going to believe the story.
Uh-oh.
The guy that bought it was a big Mustang fan.
Okay.
His brother died overseas. He bought it in memory of his brother that was lost in Iraq.
What better story
right?
is there than
and
that?
And so I mean, every time he drives in that car.
So good.
It's like, my goodness gracious, those stories. But you guys, you enabled the whole thing. And then we won an award on the video series that we did.
Excellent.
Because we were the first video on eBay Motors.
Can't beat it.
Right?
You know, and that speaks to the emotion that you get out of the automotive industry, right?
Yeah.
You can't walk around here without loving everything you see.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
How has eBay evolved over the years? I think I talked to you guys maybe a couple years ago. So
yep.
What's different about eBay today? Have you driven an eBay lately?
Sure.
Right?
Well, so that's a big thing. So, I mean, I'll throw some numbers at you, things people don't know. 81% of the products sold on eBay are brand new.
Wow.
71% ship for free.
Wow.
89% are fixed price. So the auction that everybody remembers, the used parts that everybody remembers, we've got it all. You can still come get it. In fact, when I took this job, my wife was very disappointed because it meant that all I do is shop on eBay all day.
Yeah, right.
The UPS guy. Swinging by all the time. It's terrible. We've got it all. And so when we're able to remind people that we've got all those options, makes it a heck of a lot easier.
So is it the buy it now? Is that what
for
it
sure.
is?
For sure. Yeah, we've got
buy
it now.
Yeah.
You know, if you see it at SEMA, you can buy it on eBay.
Really?
I mean, it's all here. 80 million plus parts listed at any given time. We've got
80 million parts.
80 million active listings.
Wow.
We've got it from many of the great partners that we have here. And it's a big thing.
I am blown away by these numbers, man.
Yeah.
And that isn't even cars for sale.
That's not even cars.
That's just products.
That's just parts. Yeah. And by the way, whoever had that Raptor that needed sold, you can do it on eBay.
That was John Annesy. The other guy. Right. He's over there trying to buy that
He's trying to buy one.
Right. You know,
if he sold it, he could. Anyway.
Wow. So, how many cars are there on eBay now? Typically?
It's a lot.
A lot.
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands. Yeah.
But, you know, what I'd love to talk about, you got those 80 million parts, right? That's a lot to sort through.
Oh, my God.
How do you find the right part? And so I'll tell you, that's a lot of what I'm working on. A lot of what the team's focused on is creating the best possible buyer experience.
Kind of a search engine kind of an experience.
Oh, yeah. And not just search engine, but taking the vehicle that you own in your garage and saying, okay, what are the top 10 items that people want to buy for this car? So if it's a 2010 Dodge, it's getting a leveling kit. But if it's a 2008 Odyssey, probably not getting a leveling
kit.
So
it doesn't.
So I can show you what's important to you and make it easy to find.
What about financing when it comes to things that are like a grand or more?
We don't really have anything going there. Yeah. The only thing I can tell you is eBay has recently announced that we're getting into payments again.
Yeah.
So you may see that coming in the future.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, Jordan, thank you.
I really appreciate the time.
eBay obviously is
come to eBay
for
buy
this
some parts.
World is absolutely the right thing.
We love it.
Jordan, thank you very much. eBay
thank
Motors.
You.
You rock, brother. This is the Pioneering Performance Stage at SEMA. Be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right, well, welcome to the Pioneering Performance Stage here at the Shell and Pennzoil booth at SEMA 2018. I'm Alan Taylor. I do believe the man that owns, the man, the myth, the legend, that actually owns the Steve McQueen bullet, Sean Kiernan. Sean, are you up next?
I am.
And also Mark Gessler. So here we are. If you've ever wondered about that Mustang right there, and you've stood there and looked at it and read a little bit of the story about it, the man that owns it is sitting right here, Sean Kiernan. And then we have the Historic Vehicle Association, who I think has done a fabulous, tremendous job of taking it around the country and spreading the love, because that is such a historic car. I don't even know how to describe it. Let us first talk about the story. For those who have not heard the story, once again, I know you've told it a million times.
Never the same way twice. Never the same way twice.
Never the same one twice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the car's been in my family for 44 years. 1974. It was in October 1974, road and track in a classified ad. And my dad, you know, was always the one to go directly to the classified ad in Hemmings, and reached out to the second owner of the car, and that day, met him, bought it, took off.
Was your dad, did he understand what he had at the time? Or did he just think it was kind of cool?
It was cool, but I tell you what, the biggest thing is my dad was a big Shelby fan. And, you know, a 68 Fastback 390 GT is what he was looking for, something fastback, right? So when he went and saw it, of course you're going to be like, is this the real deal? And, you know, of course it had some weird stuff with the camera mounts and everything else on it. And it had some documentation with it, but not until 1977 when McQueen called my father. Then things kind of changed. But if you knew my father, my dad kept driving the car knowing it was Bullet. You know, they put 45,000 miles on it in 70. So
that is so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was a daily driver.
What a story, right?
Absolutely. My mom, you know, was a third grade Catholic school teacher. And imagine her shifting that car coming up, pulling up at school. I mean, And to hear today, she's like, yeah, that's all I knew. That's it. This is our family car.
Too. She's cool, man.
Oh, she is absolutely the original queen of cool, for
that
sure.
Is so
yeah,
deep.
Absolutely.
Well, congrats on that. And how did you guys hook up? Where did this...
Well, you know, the great thing is that back in 2016, this story actually started right here. I had met Sean before this, and we had been talking, and we met up out here, and we're here at the Shell Performance area, and we had another exhibit that year, and Sean and I and a couple of the other guys were involved with the story, which was shrouded in secrecy, met in the back room, and we shared a couple photos with a couple key people, some of the people that had been up on stage here, and that got back to Ford, and Ford got to Sean, and 2 weeks later, you were in Dearborn with Ford execs and talking about what could happen in 2018. So that's been a tremendous story in itself, just how it came out of, you know, the relationships here in the Shell Performance area. We're literally back in that room over there. The
Isn't
one we've
that
been,
awesome?
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool stuff.
No, it really
the connections,
is.
The connections
crazy.
That were made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me bring up Tom Cotter. Can we want to bring him up with us? Because this is... I mean, it's not a barn find, but it would still go into that classification. They're talking, oh, you know, I got Steve McQueen's bullet. And I mean, that's what dreams are made out of right there, isn't it?
You know, who here in the whole place doesn't dream about finding buried treasure? You know, like when you were a kid, you wanted to find pirate's treasure. Well, now we're older. We just want to find four-wheel treasure.
Right, exactly. And the thing is that for us, I don't know. I mean, maybe... You and me, anyway, we're old enough. I don't know how. I mean, you're looking so young these days, but Steve McQueen, for goodness sakes, the coolest guy on planet Earth, right? I mean, it's like this is impossible, yet it happened right in this room, right here. That is what is so cool. Things are born out of this display at SEMA.
Absolutely. It was the most nervous day for me, if you can imagine. So SEMA, I've been coming to forever. And here I am telling, you know, just random amazing people I've watched build amazing cars right. about a car that's been sitting in my garage my whole life.
Did you know, though, that it was that kind of valuable or significant or historical?
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I think that I knew that, you know, I had to do
it
in the grandest.
But you kept it quiet.
Yeah, I mean, that was difficult. And, it's been awkward this year to talk about it. Saying bullet outside, it's funny. We were talking in Detroit when I finally unveiled on January 14th. Like, let's go outside and just scream bullet. And then we realized we're in Detroit. And we're like, maybe not. And then so we just stay in. But, yeah, it was just amazing.
I remember seeing it in Detroit. And it was the talk of the Detroit Auto Show. The bullet, the real bullet is over in the Ford booth. And everybody's like, I got to go see it.
Right.
That car is
Steve McQueen's DNA still on that steering wheel?
On the seat. Yeah, for sure.
You know, you ought to have it tested. Yeah.
Wow. You know, the amazing thing about that Detroit show, though, was that this was the first time, when you looked at the bar graphs, the statistics out of that show, this was the number one story. So you've got every manufacturer shows up, just like they do here. Everybody's, you know, fighting for that top spot. It's the first time an old car actually won the show. And, it's just crazy.
Yeah, to hear somebody say that, you know, and something that's been in my garage, if you can... Just kind of imagine something that's been sitting in my garage, I've been walking by my whole life, steals the SEMA show or steals the Detroit Auto Show. For me, I'm just, you know, it's a surreal moment. And then to have it back in my garage, staring at it, going, what the heck? I mean, it's just insane, right?
I know, right?
I've been looking for cars my whole life, and there were two cars that I've been looking to find, and I missed out on that one. I mean, you know what? So now I got to find James Dean's Porsche.
Well, there you go.
That's the last one.
Man, you have a piece of history there, brother. I got to say, how about a round of applause for a guy that keeps that car stock as a rock, a car that has got so much history, and also Mark Gessler, you guys have done such a great job of, you know, really bringing it to the world. So thank you so much, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's a true treasure, and we're glad to share that with the American people.
Yeah, no question about it. This is the Pioneering Performance Stage at SEMA. Be right back.
Had my money, I tell you.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome to the Pioneering Performance Stage here at the Shell and Pennzoil booth at SEMA 2018. I'm Alan Taylor. Coming up next, we've got Sean Kiernan, Tom Cotter, and also Mark Kessler. So, Tom, I don't know. How can we help?
Well, let me tell everybody that rust never sleeps, okay? Rust never sleeps. So it's at this point in the game, if a car is left outside, unless it's like in Nevada, it's trash. You know, I consider it like art or sculpture. But if a car is outside, it's probably worn down to the point where it's not worth fixing up. Now, I'm generalizing here. But, man, if you can get inside a barn or a garage or even an overhang, it makes a world of difference.
So what you're saying is that's your way of telling those people, if you've got one and it's outdoors, move it under something.
Yeah.
Preservation.
You know, and if you've ever knocked on a guy's door who's got, you know, in the driveway, he's whatever it is, it's a Bronco, a first-generation Bronco, or it's a Corvette, or it doesn't matter, a Falcon. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to fix it up one day. And I say to myself, wait a minute now. It's been there 40 years. You're now 80 years old. You've waited until it deteriorated to nothing, and now you're going to restore it? I don't think so. So, you know, the thing is, I use reverse psychology. When I knock on a door of a car, a house, and the guy, you know, I tell him, do you want to buy parts for that car? If you need parts for that Falcon, because I can get your parts.
Smart.
And suddenly, 40 years of people knocking on his door, and now somebody's coming to me that wants to sell me something, come on in, have a glass of iced tea. And I'll tell you another thing. If you've watched my program, Barn Find Hunter, on YouTube, I drive the Woody Wagon. That Woody Wagon is the door opener. That's the icebreaker. That's the car that people look in the driveway and say, Mama, look at this. Somebody just pulled in the car in the driveway with a Woody. Suddenly, I'm there as best friend. And now it's not just no. It's like, let me show you what's in the garage. So if you guys are Barn Find Hunters, take an old car. Don't drive a new SUV. Don't drive a pickup truck. Drive something old because it's a conversation starter.
By the way, my favorite story is, I can't say the person's name because she told me, swear, never tell her the world. A person that's in this industry that is well known saw a barn. They went and looked through the window, and they saw some old cars in there that were dusty and dirty. And then they were looking in the window, and they kind of bumped the window, and it moved a little bit. And they went, this window looks like it'll open. And it did. And they opened the window, and there was two women. And they go, let's go in and look and see what's in there. And they crawled through the window, and it happened to be the barn of a pastor of a church. And so somebody saw them going in there, these two women, right? They saw them going through the window. They went there. They called the pastor. The pastor comes. He opens the garage door while they're in there, and they're standing there. And he's like, now, what are you two ladies doing? We had to see the cars. And he had these old cars. And I mean, isn't that a great story? He didn't want to sell them. And they're still in touch with him when he one day sells them. But what a cool story, these two. I mean, it just shows that gals are just as much car guys as car guys are, you know?
And you know what? If the first Cobra I found, a 289 Cobra, is up in Indianapolis, and it was sitting in a barn for 30 or something years. The guy that owned it invented Prozac. And his wife said, you can't drive it somewhere. You're going to kill yourself. So he parked it, and that was it. Well, the paper boy came along and looked in the garage. He was going to collect his money for the paper. And he saw something. He said, I think it's an Austin Healey. He told his neighbor. The neighbor goes over, knocks on the door, and he winds up buying it, and I got it from him.
Wow. That's why my garage doors stay closed all the time.
Right.
Just because of people like that.
Yeah, right.
You don't know if the UPS guy's a Mustang fan.
I know. Right? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Look at, we're ambitious about this. We're driven about it. So you're right. If you got something, keep it under wraps. Otherwise, somebody like me or those two ladies will crawl through your window.
Right.
All right. Tom Cotter, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
Martin
man.
Martin Fine Hunter, Sean Kiernan, thank you, sir.
Rush never sleeps.
Appreciate it. Mark Kessler, the Pioneering Performance Stage here at Shell and Pennzoil. Thank you very much.
Thank
Good
you.
To see you, Tom.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Live talk today here on the Shell Pioneering Performance Stage. I'm Alan Taylor. Coming up right now is my friend Dennis Collins, Big Chris, Chris Smith, and Dave Hall. We're going to put them on the couch, see what they have to say.
Put them in the hot seat, Alan.
That's right. How you doing, Dennis?
Outstanding.
Fantastic.
It's a great day to be
that
alive.
That big old ring, man, that thing is, that's a powerful ring.
Oh, I didn't mean to hurt you. I know you are kind of old.
Ouch.
How are you,
big,
sir?
Big Chris.
Good to see you.
Look at the size of that man. Goodness gracious. I'm afraid of you still.
Don't be afraid.
He looks normal size.
Good morning, Alan.
No, how you doing, man? Good to see you.
And we got Dave actually got up this morning and exercised.
Have a seat. Have a seat. Is there enough room? Yeah, you see, you can be the co-host, and we'll get those two guys. Otherwise, you guys be like too close for men comfort. Well, boys, what have you been doing?
Hanging out at SEMA, checking out all the new accessories.
So, Dennis Collins, Fast and Loud, Collins Brothers Jeep, Black Mountain Jeep products. BLKMTN.com for Black Mountain. You can check out his products. That's also kind of what you do, Big Chris.
Absolutely.
Part of that whole crew with the Black Mountain Jeep stuff.
That's right. He is the global brand manager.
Because it is a, you know, that's the thing about
Jeep. I have a title.
You have is that your first title you've ever had?
Yeah, apart from sir.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir, when you stand up, right? And then Dave Hall from... Well, where do we say you're from? Restore a Muscle Car, but you're part of the whole Gas Monkey, you know.
Oh, yeah. Restore a Muscle Car, we are also a Black Mountain Jeep dealer also.
And also part of that crazy crew we see on television on Fast and Loud.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He's in the hula hoop.
He's in the hula hoop.
Well, speaking of hula hoops,
yeah,
you look really good. You lost a lot
of
weight.
He's hitting on me. I want you to notice he's hitting on me on live stage.
No, I'm not.
It's a little weird.
I'm just giving you some accolades for losing that weight.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of a 5 foot fat guy. I've lost 10, 15 pounds.
You can get a hula hoop over yourself now.
For years, they always used to joke about how fat I was because they're all skinny, you know. And so I decided I better, if I'm going to be running with these guys, I better thin down, drink less beer. Oh, I don't drink beer. That's you guys.
More for us.
That's a good stop.
So, SEMA, I saw you with Chip Foose signing autographs.
That was an honor. It's awesome. He's such a nice guy. Incredibly talented.
Isn't he the nicest guy?
Nicest guy and arguably the most talented guy in the industry.
Has anybody met Chip Foose? Anybody out here met him? This
great
is
guy.
Truly one of the nicest human beings in the world. And there's a reason for that. But when you get to know people about their life stories, you understand why they're, you know, have humility or why they got big egos. And, you know,
10 years ago, before our show came on air, he was in line signing tons of autographs. We walked up to him and said, sir, we've been trying to get an automotive show. Can we binge here for a few minutes?
So he was signing autographs. You and Richard.
Here at SEMA. We walked up
line.
To him.
Yeah.
He goes, come back in 15 minutes. We came back in 15 minutes. That was his break time, and he went and had lunch with us. How cool is that?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it just shows what kind of guy he is. And
yeah.
Everybody trusts Chip Foose because, first of all, he's an incredibly talented guy, but that's not it. It's because of his soul, his spirit. His attitude, his energy, what he gives out to the world is truly him. And I honestly, there's few people in the world like him. And I think we got to be all very honored to have him in our hobby because, I mean, he brings so much to the table. He influences everybody, even the guys from Fast and Loud. I mean, the start came. And as soon as I met these guys, I'm like, yeah, you guys should have a show. And, we were all together on this crazy bull run thing we did together. And I mean, that's part of my life for the rest of my life, some of the most fun I ever had. And you guys were only there a few minutes at the beginning and a few minutes at the end because you did the cannonball run from New York to L.A. in the middle of the bull run, which is unheard of stuff. But this man here kept me from going to jail because I had a 6-foot snake tied to the back of our car and we got pulled over by a state trooper.
This is all true.
It's true. We ran over a snake. I was driving a Shelby GT.
Hertz.
What was it? It was a Hertz.
It was a Hertz convertible.
Yeah, it was a Hertz car. It said Hertz on the license plate, so I thought it was just a Hertz rental car convertible. But it was car number one from Shelby. It's in the museum. And we were driving it like Days of Thunder. But we did get pulled over, and I have a picture of Chris standing there with his arms folded talking these two cops out of taking us to jail because they knew we were all driving fast, but they didn't catch us going fast. But the reason why they said they pulled us over was because we had a 6-foot real snake duct taped to the back of the car, because I joked that we had the first super snake.
Well, there you go.
Well, it wasn't exactly being dragged now, was it? I think he was doing slightly over 55, and it would look like it was flying behind you.
It was like a tail wagging in the wind like that. But no, those were some good times, weren't they?
They were really good times.
Hey, Dave, did you go on that trip? You weren't on that trip, were you?
No, I did not.
That was it. I know he was driving a Pontiac.
78 Trans Am.
Whatever happened to that?
I took it to the UK, drove it round, and then brought it back here. Dennis used it for a while, then Richard, and then we sold it at Barrett Jackson.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Gosh. Well, so what's next? Barn finds or something? You got to go.
We've got a lot of barn find cars coming up. Me and Big Chris and Kelsey are going to go pull out some mid-year Corvettes that have been in barns in East Texas since 1982, and one of them is a 67 coupe that's got an L88 motor in it. I'm not saying it's a real L88 car, but maybe it is. And then after that, we've got a barn find full of E-Type Jags in South Texas.
Wow.
We'll pull out.
We'll take a little break and come back with more here on the Pioneering Performance Stage, presented by Shell and Pennzoil. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back in just a minute.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Hurry into the Dodge Big Finish event. That's the new holiday greeting in Santa's workshop, and now he's even upgrading his ride. Like Charger, America's only four-door muscle car. Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Durango, the most technologically advanced, fuel-efficient, and powerful V8 in its class. Santa wants his sleigh to really fly.
Ho, ho, go!
Hurry in for great deals at the Dodge Big Finish event. Based on 2019 Ward's Midsize Sport Utility Vehicle segment, available V8 based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Welcome to the Pioneering Performance Stage here at the Shell and Pennzoil booth at SEMA 2018. Coming up right now is my friend Dennis Collins, Big Chris Smith, and Dave Hall. Dave Hall, Restore Muscle Car. What are you doing that's exciting lately?
Well, where do I start?
I'll start whatever's most exciting.
Well, I mean, in our shop, I've got 22 technicians. We've got a lot of projects coming in from all over the world right now.
By the way, speaking of all over the world, we need to talk about that blazer I bought. I bought a 74 Blazer, full removable hardtop.
K5.
So it's a convertible truck, right?
Yes, I'm familiar with them.
It's the last year of the full convertible truck.
We've got 372 Blazers we're doing right now.
What's going on with Blazers? Everybody have any understanding of what's going on there?
They're a good place to be right now.
It's not only that, it's also the Broncos and the Ram Chargers. I tell you what's really hard to find is a Ram Charger.
Really?
Yeah. They just didn't make a ton of them, and they got heavily abused and were more likely
especially a low-mileage original example.
Yeah.
And they rusted pretty easily.
Well, they weren't the best-looking thing in the world anyway.
It looks sort of like a Blazer to Bronco.
Yeah, it was their attempt to copy that. But, I mean, I think the Bronco was the best one. The Blazer was kind of the attempt of making something like that. And then, what'd you call this one? I can't even remember.
The Ram Charger.
Ram Charger.
Yeah, see, I don't even. It's like out of my mind.
You're not much of a Mopar guy, are you?
I am now.
You're supposed
but
to be. You drive a Demon and you don't know what a Ram Charger is?
I have a Viper ACR.
He's an automotive expert.
I know what they are, but everything, my world with Mopar starts at like 2016. You know, that's where I started falling in love with them.
So you're kind of like a millennial?
Kind of. I was into Chevys and Fords before that.
You know, and he drives automatics too.
No, I got a Viper ACR. He's lying. And if my Demon, well, you know, anyway, we won't go there. I think that there are still some buys to be had out there, and it could be that the K5 Blazers are right there, because you can buy one for a couple of grand. I paid $1,800 for mine.
Where do you live?
Sitting for nine up in Oregon.
And you can buy K5 Blazers for $1,800 in Oregon?
Yeah.
There you have it, everybody. If you want to be the next millionaire, go to Oregon and buy 100 of them.
And they don't rust in Oregon. I mean, we don't have rust there, even though we got a lot of rain.
So can I buy yours for $2,500?
We have rust, but not like, you know, other. No, you can't buy it. It's probably worth $3,500.
Oh, I'm in. Deal. I'll give you $3,500 for it.
You know it's worth more than that. Anyway, now let me just, again, back to Dave Hall. People can call you up and get in line to build, restore a muscle car? You do more than muscle cars, right?
Yes, we do actually everything from classic cars to taking modern day cars and doing customization to them or updating them, putting superchargers on them, you know. Whatever
Talk
you
about
want, performance-wise.
His collection of Trans Ams and Pontiacs.
This guy has so many Trans Ams, and this is true.
He never brags about it.
I've asked him multiple times how many he has, and he literally does not know.
This is so true. I actually flew up to Dave's place just to take a look around, and we took half a day traveling in different directions, and there was cars he had actually forgotten about. And I'm not talking piles that you want to forget about. I'm talking HO 71, 72, Super Duty Trans Ams. He's very modest, but I think he's got over 100 of them.
Surely you know how many Super Duties you have.
Yeah, I have an idea.
How many?
About a dozen right now.
I was guessing 13.
Isn't that crazy, right?
But if you have a Trans Am or want a Trans Am built or restored, he literally is the best guy in the world at it.
What is next? Dennis is doing something called Coffee Walk. I thought we were supposed to do one of those today.
Well, we were supposed to be doing it right now, but Kelsey's not here.
Oh, well, that's what happens, right? So, talk about the coffee walk so they can watch it.
Every Friday, I get up early in the morning, which I'm not much of a morning guy, but I do it, and go up to the shop, get the coffee going, and walk through and basically show everybody what's going on the Black Mountain Jeep side, which is our JK and JL accessories. And then I go through and show what's going on the Collins Brothers Jeep side in our restoration department. And then I'll go over to our Classics Dead or Alive section and show what we found that week. So Facebook, it's The Dennis Collins. If you want to watch Coffee Walk, it's every Friday.
So let me ask you, I'm working with ClassicCars.com. Everybody know about ClassicCars.com? They got 50,000 classic cars for sale, ClassicCars.com. But they don't have a lot of content as far as videos and stories. They have some. It's called The Journal. But I just made a deal with them to blow it up. Why don't we put Coffee Talk at ClassicCars.com? And you could maybe...
I've never heard of Coffee Talk.
What do you call it?
Coffee Walk.
Coffee Walk, whatever the hell you call your stupid coffee thing. Every time I watch it, I got to go get coffee. So...
You can walk and talk and drink coffee.
Coffee Talk and Walk. We should put that on there.
Coffee Walk, absolutely.
And maybe you could do some like appraisal or something. Somebody could send pictures and something. Let's come up with something.
You have to have a license to do appraisals.
But you could give your opinion.
There you go.
That's all it is.
What's an opinion worth?
Whatever, it's free. That's what it's going to cost them, too.
We can't say that in front of their
You know what? Up. I don't know anybody, honestly. I don't know anybody that has more interesting information about cars, classic cars, and Jeeps. Forget about the Jeeps. He knows more about Jeeps than anybody. But classic cars, Dennis has a encyclopedic memory of all these bizarre facts and figures. Am I right? Have you seen it?
Very true.
This guy came all the way over from England to buy cars from these guys, and they end up working together because...
I ended up staying.
I don't know how the green card, I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm not signing off on it.
It's already done. I'm sorry.
Oh, damn it.
You got me now.
But the knowledge about classic cars, you really ought to be working with us at ClassicCars.com. So we'll talk about that later.
You got it.
I mean, the content that we create, that you guys consume, should be right next to the cars for sale. That, to me, is a beautiful thing. I mean, there's a lot of places you can buy cars, but ClassicCars.com is the place where you go looking for classic cars. Besides, this guy here is trying to buy them before they get on classic cars.
Absolutely.
Wanted dead or alive.
And it's not all about buying the cars and flipping and making the money. We truly do enjoy, and these two guys do it with me, and they do it by themselves as well, getting the cars back out in circulation.
Yeah.
So if there's anybody out here in the crowd that's got a 250 GTO or a Lamborghini Miura or a Gullwing just sitting in the garage.
Yeah, right.
Let's get that out of there.
It ain't this crowd, let me tell you that.
Hey, you never know.
What are you looking for that this crowd may have? Ragtop, Volkswagen, there's all kinds of weird...
We've always chased Cudas. 70 and 71.
Where'd that Cuda guy go?
Always.
Anybody got a Cuda in the crowd? Nope.
70, 71 Challengers. We love the E-body Hemi cars. Shelby Mustangs. We buy those all the time. Probably the hottest segment in the market right now, and we'll see if these guys agree with me or not, it's got to be Porsche.
Porsche?
356s, 911, 912s, right. Anything air-cooled that's Porsche. I mean, it's just...
Anybody got a Porsche in
the market?
That
market's gone nuts.
It's great.
So Chris and I... And we push each other on this and rag each other every week. We try to buy at least one a week.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And we push really hard.
Are they right?
We go just about anywhere.
Are going through the roof, aren't they?
And we'll buy cars that are rougher than a stucco bathtub. I mean, when our ass says dead or alive, we'll buy them in any condition.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, sometimes the rougher the better because You get to, you're the artist. You get to create the, you know, the painting on the canvas.
Well, that and rougher and cheaper kind of rhyme.
Rougher and cheaper go together. That's right. And you got a shop, so what matters? We'll take a little break and come back with more here on the Pioneering Performance Stage. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back in just a minute.
I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Live talk today here on the Shell Pioneering Performance Stage. I'm Alan Taylor. Coming up right now is my friend Dennis Collins, Big Chris Smith, and Dave Hall. So let's go talk about Fast and Loud for a minute. How's things going there? You guys still pumping out episodes?
Yes, we have a whole season in the can already.
Gotcha.
And we're filming right now for 2020. But we actually never know what they're going to do with it.
Right.
But yeah, we're
just keep on filming because it's real life stuff.
Just keep on filming, and right. We don't know when it's going to show, what year, when it's going to come out.
Since Richard's not here, and you know, I've always wondered, does he have a favorite car? Seems like there was a Mustang convertible, green Mustang convertible he had for a while.
Well, he still has it, and he actually just redid it again. Well, you've met Jared Rakey. He's the guy that bet us the $50,000 on the rally and actually paid us.
Yeah.
So his favorite car was the Shelby Mustang convertible and the Thomas Crown Affair.
Right.
So we built that car in the shop for him for one of his birthdays, and he had it for a couple of years.
Who's that? Richard's. That's Richard's famous car you're talking about?
Yeah. We built that car for Jared Rickey.
Oh, okay.
For one of his birthdays.
Gotcha.
But the stipulation was, if you ever get tired of it, you got to sell it back to us.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So he sold it back to us, and Richard just we actually just went through that car again 100% on the show and updated everything. And I'd say for right now, that's probably his favorite car.
And what about you?
550 Maranello for sure.
The one that you guys did the cannonball run.
Yeah. It is...
Just because it's such a nice driving car, because of the history of it.
And I think Chris will agree with this, too. He's been in that car, and he knows what it'll do, and so does Richard. It's kind of like a gentleman's Ferrari. It's not like, hey, look at me, you know, the doors are doing this. And
yeah.
It's just a great car, super fast. It's one of the only supercars I've ever had that actually will go over 200.
Really?
And there's a lot of them that
say
they will.
Have you done that?
Absolutely.
All right, two things. Some people mention Ferrari, they think you got to be affluent, whatever, and they don't like it. They go back to muscle cars. I love that car so much, I actually bought one when I was in London. And here's the fun fact about that car. If you look in the Guinness Book of Records, it still holds the highest average speed for a production car.
Really?
190.4 miles an hour over an hour period for a production car.
Wow.
A killer car.
That's an amazing thing right there.
And then for my second favorite car of all time, 71 Hemi Challenger. They only made 71 of them. I just love the car. I love the style. You know, that's basically what the new Challengers were. That was the platform for the new Challengers now. And then as far as foreign cars, it's got to be Goldie.
What's Goldie? Oh, the little
Austin Healey. To me, the holy grail of all Austin Healeys was the 1958 Earl's Court show car. That car was built in the race shop under the guise of Donald Healey, basically without a budget. At that time, the most expensive Austin Healey was a 100S race car. So they took a 106, which is a road car, put a John Thompson's motor pressing chassis underneath it, four-wheel Dunlop disc brakes, and then every piece of bright work on the car was done in 24-karat gold. And then the steering wheel was done in real ivory, which I know now is not politically correct, but this was a long time ago. The seats were done in Chinese kid leather with real mink inserts. It was also the first road-going Healey to ever have a radio
mink
in it.
And real gold. And I've seen this car. It's pretty wild.
It's a really neat car. And I was honored to get invited to go to the Concours in Kuwait, which is arguably the most difficult Concours to win. Most people say Pebble Beach. However, the Concours in Kuwait, most of the cars that are there.
Well, when you're competing against kings that have a little bit of money.
We are competing against kings, but you're also competing against every major automobile manufacturer in the world. So Mercedes restored a 300 SLR race car and brought it. Lamborghini restored a 400 Spider and had Balboni oversee the restoration.
Wow.
You had a restoration that was done there by Pagani. So the finest cars in the world. I was just honored to be there. Didn't think there was any possible way I'd win. Well, we actually won the Concours with that car. And the reason we won was difficulty in restoration and difficulty in materials to do that car.
Yeah.
There was nothing there like that.
And it is a beautiful car sitting right next to a very famous Challenger that's been in television commercials.
Yeah, that was the number one webisode that Mopar ever did.
Yeah, exactly. Dennis's collection is very eclectic. It's got a little bit of everything. I'm just curious what a man who is into Trans Ams drives. What's your favorite car that you drive that you have?
Oh, I know what he's driving daily now.
What?
He's driving a Black Mountain Wrangler.
A Fiat 500.
I do. I love driving the Jeeps. They're just a lot of fun. They get a lot of attention and stuff to have around.
But I mean a classic car kind of car.
As far as classic cars go, I still have my high school car, which was a 72 455 HO four-speed car with air, blue with white stripe. Yes.
It's a killer
car. How many people keep their classic cars? Only true-blood, true-blue car guys and gals. But that's a rare thing.
Yes, definitely. That's a very rare car because of the strike they had that year in 72 and stuff. So, and they didn't make very many of the blue cars, and especially with the four-speed. And then this one's got white interior, which is even more rare because it was a mid-year production color for the interior.
I can't believe he still got his high school car. I have a 2002 Jaguar Vonnenpla. You know, just
a
sedan XJ.
I'll be honest with you. I love you a bit, dude. You know that. But that hair is going to go so well in that car.
I
like the silver fox just going down the freeway.
It's just an old Jag. I bought it cheap. And I let my wife drive it one day. She goes, can I borrow your car? I go, come on, man. Don't wreck my car. It's white with a tan interior. She ran it out of gas, chewed up the fuel pump, and it cost me almost $900 for a fuel pump. I mean, I only paid $3,000 for the car, you know? It's like...
Welcome to Jaguar ownership.
Welcome to Jaguar, exactly. Anyway, but other than that, I have a Demon and a Viper ACR. Those are not daily drivers. I mean, the Demon kind of is, but you're so tempted to put your foot in it all the time. Anyway.
We should have our first Red Eye next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've got one that's already off production.
I can't wait to drive the Red Eye. We'll take a little break and come back with more here on the Pioneering Performance Stage, presented by Shell and Pennzoil. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back in just a minute.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning. Stylish. Sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT. Fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Welcome to the Pioneering Performance Stage here at the Shell and Pennzoil booth at SEMA 2018. This is Larry Kester, everybody. He's got, just behind us, he's got an amazing 3,000 horsepower tractor puller, and we've become big friends over the years. I finally got a chance to go over there and take a look at it. I had to take a picture of it. Make sure you take a look at this man's race car. But Larry, you know, he told me the story, which I got to say, this man has the determination of 10 men. When he lost his legs and almost died, well, did die a few times in his tractor accident, I think he regained his freedom and his self by driving his truck again. Tell that story, just the part where you said, I'm sick and tired of being in a bed, sick and tired of hanging around. You got no legs. Everybody's trying to do everything for me. I got to be a man again, basically, right? What'd you do?
Well, you know, everyone here knows the best thing that you can do is get in your vehicle and get the hell out of Dodge.
That's
right.
And
it was just, you know, I'd been in the hospital for 4 months, and I'm a driver. I just love to get in a vehicle and drive. And, you know, I couldn't do any of that. I was down to 136 pounds, you know, and I wish I was a little closer to that now. I'm way overweight for my height right now. But it was – I went up to the shop finally after I'd got out of the hospital, and And I was so beating myself up, and I went over and I told my number one man in the shop, I said, Raymond, go get that broken off sledgehammer handle there and cut it off. And he's like, well, what do you want to do that for? And I said, because I'd held it up to my gas pedal in my pickup truck, and I said, cut that thing off. I'm going for a drive. And he's like, you cannot drive. And I said, I'm going for a drive. Cut that damn thing off. So he did. He went over and cut it off, and I got up in the truck, and I pushed my wheelchair off to the side, and I backed out of the shop, and I took off, and I went for a drive. And, it was just like the best thing I could have done. You know, when you're locked up and you're a driver, and like everybody here is drivers, man, if you can just get out and drive. I just drove and drove. I don't even remember where in the hell I drove to, but I it was like the best thing I did for myself, because driving is a privilege, but it's also a freedom.
Wow. True story. You know, I think sometimes I've been married a long time, and then whenever I get into a big old fight with my wife, I go get in my favorite car, and I go for a drive, and I come back, and I go, it's okay.
I'm sure she's going to love to hear that line.
No, she knows. Sometimes I'm like, I'm going to be back in a little while. Go for a drive. And I just let it all go. You just let it all go. That car helps you release all that pent-up frustration, anger, resentment, whatever it is. Driving, there is something therapeutic about driving. Anyway, I see Neil Chin. Neil, get up here, man. Get up here. Now, who's that with you?
My son, Colin.
Bring him up. This is Neil Chin, everybody. Good to see you,
Neil.
What's
up, guys? How are you?
Look at this. Look at the gang of guys we've got here. So what's this little guy's name?
So his name is Colin.
Colin.
Yes, sir.
How old?
He just turned 10.
What do you think, Colin, of SEMA? What do you think of all this?
I like SEMA.
You like SEMA? You like what your dad does for a living?
Yeah.
What do you think of this crazy? This guy right here has got a 3,000 horsepower race car right behind you. His legs are over there in it. He left. He forgot them.
I think we could put you in the seat. I could get more weight on my tractor.
All right. Well, so, Colin, what's your favorite car so far? Have you seen it?
I like my dad's car.
You like my dad's car? He's very well media trained, right? And well, besides that, what do you think?
I like Ken Block's truck.
Ken Block's truck. Well, there you go. Good for you. He's got good good taste in trucks. So Neil, tell us about what you've been doing.
Yeah, we've been this is our 20th SEMA, so we shared the stage with you a couple of years in a row.
And absolutely.
It's a blessing and honor. Colin's here. You know, the Shell Penzo family have treated us wonderfully, so.
What did you build this year?
Me and Colin, we did a Ford Mustang together with Von Gittin. So yesterday we were signing in the Ford booth,
the purple one.
Yes, sir.
With Colin here, he helped on it?
He'll tell you the story. He's a little shy, but we both pitched a Ford. He's smiling because his design won, so.
Are you serious?
God honest
truth. Your design won, Colin?
He beat me.
Look at that. That's the beginning of a automotive customizer right there. He beat his dad out and got a Ford Motor Company to accept his design, 10 years old. What's that? What's the trajectory of his life now after that, right?
No, you've seen what he does. He's, like I said, God's using him in great ways, and he loves it. He's here, and he got to partner with Vaughn, who's been since he was this big. So they just did some stuff together, but we just want to see where it takes him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Is he getting a paycheck?
Not yet. He's got a Coogan account, but he ain't touching it till he's older. He's got to work for it, but he loves it. So, yes, sir.
All right. I'm Alan Taylor, and I think that's a wrap for me. And the 2018 SEMA Pioneering Performance Stage, thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, yeah.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love! It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.